The following is a synopsis of the Rebbe's talks of the nights of Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Erev Shabbos Kedush, and Shabbos Kedush, of Parshas Kisiso, the 14th through the 18th of Adar Rishon, of the year Heitav Shinun Beis, corresponding to 1992. The Rebbe describes the Parsha of Kisiso in a very interesting way, that the Parsha itself is filled with diverse subjects, colorful subjects, and besides the fact that they all come in one continuation, there seems to be no thematic connection between them. In the beginning of the parsha, it discusses the first tablets, something very high and exalted. Afterwards, it talks about the shattering of the tablets, something very low, something that is a decline. Then it talks about the 13 attributes of mercy, it's another exalted matter. Then it talks about the second tablets, which are a completely different category of tablets. They were created by Moshe Rabbeinu himself. He took the sapphire from the mountain, and that is what God had etched into it, the Ten Commandments. And the fact that this is all in one continuation, in one parsha, tells us that all of these subjects, as disparate as they may be, are really part of one continuum. And we can prove this, the Rebbe says, from the fact that the first tablets are mentioned in detail when the Torah says these are Luchais tablets, the Evan, made out of stone, written with the finger of God, written from both sides. And where is this all mentioned? It's mentioned in the context of the golden calf, the sin of the golden calf. Now, if this was only an introduction to the golden calf, why would you describe the first tablets in such glowing ways? It doesn't make sense that where you're talking about the shattering of the tablets, they should indicate how great they were, because that's like mocking the ones who are lacking. There's a principle in halacha that we do not mock someone who doesn't have what others have. For example, we don't do a mitzvah in front of the graves because they can't do the mitzvahs, and that's called mocking someone. Here also we're mocking the people who worship the golden calf, and we're saying that, look what tablets we had that you broke, that you caused to be broken. So that proves to us that the first tablets are mentioned here as a significant part of the continuum of this whole parsha, that it's all one theme that runs from the beginning to the end. And this is also true even according to the opinion of Rashi, who says that the events of this parsha are not in chronological order, but nevertheless, there still has to be an explanation why there's this continuation of subjects from one to the other that seem to be of a totally disparate nature. And also, why is the Torah recording the events of the first tablets in this parsha and not in the parsha of Mishpatim, where it talks about the first tablets? So why doesn't it add those details that are mentioned here? Then the Rebbe says there are other questions that have to be raised and resolved. And the Rebbe lists four questions. Number one, what is the connection between the creation of the golden calf and the tablets? And the three festivals that are mentioned near the end of the parsha? What connection do the golden calf and tablets have to do with the three festival holidays? Number two, what's the connection between the name of the parsha, Kisisa, which is about the half shekel at the very beginning of the parsha? What connection does that have to the whole continuation of the parsha, which talks about the tablets, etc.? What connection does it have to the half shekel? Number three, the word Kisisa implies elevation. And the sin of the golden calf is the ultimate degradation. And number four, we know that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from the mountain with the second tablets, there were rays of light that emanated from him. But that was only with the second tablets, not the first tablets. Now, why was there a difference? The light came from his close proximity to the divine presence, and that was reflected on his face, that radiance of the divine presence. Well, didn't he have that experience with the first tablets? So in order to answer all these questions, we have to know that every parsha has its own unique character. There's a chiddush, there's a novelty for every parsha that you cannot find in any other parsha. What is the novelty, the unique aspect of this parsha, of Kisisa? And that is, the Rebbe says, that you could see the whole creation everything that's in existence is represented in this parasha. Now, it's true that any part of Torah, it says, hafachba, v'hafachba, dekulaba, just turn around and search and you'll find everything in it. But that requires effort. But when we talk about this parasha of Kisisa, even a cursory examination of the parasha yields this very incredible find that it deals with all of existence. And the Rebbe explains how that is. God established that everything has in it three different positions. You have the beginning of something, its head, and what is the purpose, the objective that is set forth at the beginning. You have the middle, the thing itself, the process itself. And then you have the end, which is the completion and the perfection of everything. Same thing is true in the world of Torah. You have the goal and objective of creation. You have the actual creation, which is what we do and how we act within this world, to refine it, to illuminate it, and to bring it to the end, which is Geula, which is redemption, which is the ultimate end and completion and the fulfillment of the ultimate purpose of everything. Now, these three things are also hinted in the first three letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph stands for Anochi. That's Torah, the first word that God said at Mount Sinai. The Bay stands for Bereishis. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. That deals with creation. And Gimel stands for Geula, redemption, which is the ultimate goal and end of everything. The world itself also comprises these three elements. Number one, there's the desire that Hashem has to create the world. Number two, the actual creation of the world. And number three, when the creation is brought to its state of fulfillment in the true and complete redemption. Translating this in the terminology of Kabbalah, in the beginning, the first stage was God's infinite light existed exclusively. Nothing else existed. Subsequently, stage number two, God contracts himself, contracts his light, and he introduces into that space a limited light, as opposed to the infinite light that was there previously. And the reason why he does this is Gimel, the third stage, so there should be the complete revelation of godliness even in this physical world. Now, since the world was created consistent with God's resolution that he made in the Torah, so it's obvious that the Torah also has these three stages. And they are, number one, Torah begins with Bereishis, which means that the world was created because of Reishis, because of the Torah, which is called Reishis, the beginning. That's number one. Number two, afterwards the Torah tells us about all the commandments and all the events that were given, and all the events that transpired with the objective of refining the world. And number three, the end of the Torah is where God shows Moshe everything that will happen in the future, Ad Hayom HaAchron, until the very last day, which is the true and complete redemption. So that represents the third and final stage in Torah. And we find a similar pattern in Pirkei Avos and Ethics of the Fathers. They start with Moshe Kibul Torah Mesinai. Moshe received the Torah at Sinai. That's the idea of Torah. Number two, Mesorah LeYehoshua. He passes it down to Yehoshua. That's the idea of how the Torah was transmitted from the first generation to each and every successive generation. And then we lead to the very last phrase in Ethics of the Fathers, in Pirkei Avos, stage number three, Hashem Yimlech L'El Avad, God will reign forever and ever, which is something that will happen in the true and complete redemption. And all of this we can find in our parsha, because the process of giving of the tablets contains three stages. Number one, you have the first tablets. The first tablets were God's own handiwork. Number two, you have the shattering of the tablets, which came as a result of the sin of the golden calf, which represents the decline down here that the world experiences in order to refine it and to purify it. Because the whole purpose of this decline was ultimately for the elevation that would follow. And the stage number three are the second tablets. This is when the Jewish people return to God. They do tshuva. And Moshe therefore goes up on the mountain again and descends 40 days later with the second tablets. Now true, the second tablets were made by Moshe, not by God himself. So they seem to be inferior to the first tablets, but it's certain that since the second tablets were given after the decline, such an incredible degradation that occurred through the sin of the golden calf that caused the shattering of the first tablets, so therefore we know that any time there's a degradation, it's for the ultimate goal of going to a higher level, even higher than you were before. And yes, precisely because we got the second tablets, we also got the oral Torah, which would not have been given in the first tablets. But a question can still be asked. How is it possible to compare the first tablets, which is stage number one, to the sin of the golden calf, and to say they're both part of one continuum? We're talking about a horrible sin and transgression. And the explanation is that the Jewish people, on their own, are not really capable of sinning and transgressing God's will, because God's will is their true will. The possibility for sin and transgression comes essentially from God's kindness, that God wants to bring us to a higher level, something that we could only reach after a decline. And that's why this decline is only a momentary one. As it says, "Berega katan azavtich," I have forsaken you for one small moment. It's only an external decline, only to the eye of the onlooker, because its real goal is the ultimate elevation that will come afterwards. It will be an eternal elevation that will never be interrupted. Not only that, there will be one elevation following another one, infinite ones, as it says in the verse, Yelchu Mulchayo Elchayo Yira Elolikim Betzion. They'll go from strength to strength and appear before God in Zion. And this is also true about the sin of the golden calf. Its ultimate goal was only to bring to the ultimate elevation that would follow. That was his exclusive goal, and that were the second tablets. That's why all the three stages appear in the parsha that is entitled Sisa, Elevation, because they all lead to elevation. Whether it's the elevation that occurred with the first tablets, when God's glory was revealed on Mount Sinai, whether it's God's glory that was revealed to Moshe as a result of the golden calf, or it's the second tablets. And one could say, essentially, that the whole parsha is really divided into three stages. The first is Kisisa, Esreish, elevating the head, elevating the Aleph, the first stage of everything. Number two is the Egel, the golden calf. And number three is the conclusion of the parsha, which talks about the second tablets. And that's why the end of the parsha also features the three joyous festivals, because they also represent the three stages. This festival of the spring is the first of the festivals. That is connected to a very high and exalted revelation of godliness. Shavuos is the second of the festivals, and is connected more to our efforts, what we do. And Sukkot, which is the festival of ingathering, is connected to the end of our efforts and the ingathering of all the Jewish people towards the ultimate true and complete redemption. Now we can understand why Moshe received the rays of light only after the second tablets were given to him and not after the first tablets, because, as we said before, the elevation that occurred through the decline, through the descent, and the degradation of the sin of the golden calf brought to a much higher elevation, a much deeper elevation. And that's why it's only then that Moshe Rabbeinu received these rays of light that are extremely high and essential expressions of godliness that couldn't have been revealed under normal circumstances. However, since the advantage and the preeminence of the second tablets came because of the decline, in order for there to be the possibility for engaging the world, Moshe had to put a mask on his face. But when he spoke to the Jewish people themselves, he didn't need the mask. The Jewish people could see and absorb the rays of light when they're not engaged in worldly matters. And through the refinement of the world, they will have the effect, ultimately, that the world itself will be able to absorb this light. Now, what is the lesson that we can learn from this for every Jew? Every Jew has to know that he has the power to do everything, from Aleph to Tav, from the beginning to the end. And that expresses itself in his daily life, because as soon as we wake up in the morning, the Aleph is Meida Ani. We concede, we thank, and we subject ourselves and unite ourselves with God to this point that first you say Meida, grateful. And only afterwards do you say the fact, Ani, I. That means the I is subsumed within this gratitude. That's the first step. The second step is when we start to engage with the world. We do our work, whatever our livelihood is, we do it with integrity. And we sanctify the world. And then we reach the third stage of our daily life, which is the Cheshbon HaNefesh, the personal accounting that we make when we say the evening prayer, Ma'ariv, and we read the Shema before bedtime. And the same thing is true, in addition to the daily cycle, it's also true about the life cycle. The beginning of a person's life, there's the middle of the person's efforts, and there's the completion, especially in this generation, where the emphasis, first and foremost, is to complete all of our efforts and to bring the true and complete redemption in actuality. Now, the power for all this, we get from our connection that we have to Moshe Rabbeinu and to the Moshe of every generation. Because through Moshe, we have the ability to absorb the rays of light. Moreover, every Jew has his own rays of light because every Jew has a spark of Moshe in him. And this is even more revealed with our Rebbes, our leaders, and especially with Melech HaMashiach. And may it be Hashem's will that as we stand now in the month of Adar, after we've already entered into the month of Adar, several days into the month, and we've already observed Purim Katan. That was a year in which there were two Adars. So the first Adar had Purim Katan and Shushan Purim Katan with great joy. So this, may it be Hashem's will, that this will lead to the true and complete redemption, and juxtaposed to the redemption of Purim, we have Pesach, the complete redemption. May that be taken from Yad Mamish, immediately and imminently. Now a summary of the synopsis. In the Parshat Kisisa, we have something that is novel because it contains in a very open way all of the things that exist. Because everything is composite of three stages, three parts. The beginning, or the head of something, the content itself, and the completion, the ultimate goal and objective. And this we find in the world. The Torah for which the world was created is the head. The world and its refinement is the body, you could say. And number three, the ultimate end is the Geula, the redemption. The Torah and the world are also divided into three. Torah is number one, the fact that Torah preceded the world. And then you have Bereishis Bara Elokim, where God creates a world. And then you have the completion of the Torah, the objective, which is the redemption, which is indicated by the words in the end of the Torah, where God shows Moshe everything ad hayom ha'achr, until the last day, with miracles that are associated with redemption. And in the world, you also have these three elements. You have the divine will to create the world, and you have the actual creation, and the completion of creation with the complete redemption. Now, in general, all this can be indicated by the first three letters of the alphabet. Aleph is Anochi, the first word of the Ten Commandments, that which is Torah, which precedes the world. Beis is Bereishis, which is the world, the creation of the world itself. And Gimel is Geula, the completion of creation. All this appears in the Parsha of Kisisa, which deals with elevation. Sisa means to uplift. Because the first tablets, the shattering of the tablets, and the second tablets are all part of one continuous, one inseparable theme. And that's why it talks about the advantages and the qualities of the first tablets, because it's not just mentioned tangentially, but that expresses the head of everything, the first tablets. The shattering of the tablets represents the decline and the descent into this world, but the only reason why there's a decline is not, God forbid, for the sake of going downhill, but it's ultimately for the elevation that comes afterwards, which is the quality that a Baal Tshuva, those who return to God, have, because they were down and then they come up. And that's represented by the second tablets that came together with the revelation of the oral Torah, which is something that they didn't have with the first tablets. And then the Rebbe says this is also the reason why we have the discussion of the three holidays at the end of the parasha, because they also represent and symbolize the three stages. Pesach is the first of the holidays, Shavuos is the second, and Sukkot which is the ingathering holiday, represents the third stage, the ingathering of all the Jewish people at the time of the Geula, of the redemption. That's why the whole parsha is entitled Kisisa, uplifting, because even the sin of the golden calf is not a true decline. It's a part, an integral part of the elevation. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu, where did he receive the rays of light? Only after the second tablets, because the second tablets had with it the special quality of Baal Tshuva, which is higher than the first tablets. And this quality of the rays of light, every Jew has, because every Jew has a spark of Moshe, and especially when you're attached to the Moshe of every generation. And the Rebbe concludes that Hamasahu Ha'ikar, the deed is the essential thing. Now, the Rebbe says, the emphasis should be, first and foremost, on completing everything to bring the Gimel, Geula, the true and complete redemption in actuality. Some of the highlights of this talk, the Rebbe says, Jewish people, on their own, are not connected at all to any type of sin, God forbid. And the only reason why we have the possibility of sinning is because God, in His infinite kindness, wants us to go to a higher level, even higher than we were before we sinned. And that's why God orchestrates things, allowing us to go downhill, to degrade ourselves momentarily and externally. It just looks that way, in order to bring the ultimate elevation, which takes us to an infinitely higher level, and not just a momentary elevation, the way we had a momentary decline, but a permanent one that will never cease. And then the Rebbe said, in our generation, which is the last generation of exile and the first generation of redemption, we already had an extreme large volume of deeds and efforts throughout all the generations that preceded us. And now we finished the last points of refining the world. So now what is the emphasis? What is the focus now? It's completing the whole process to bring about the Gimel, Geula, the true and complete redemption in actuality. An excerpt from the book Besuras HaGeula, The Announcement of Redemption, where the Rebbe focuses on the actual lesson for the redemption. In our generation, the Rebbe says, which is the last generation of exile and the first generation of redemption, after the tremendous amount of our efforts and divine service of the Jewish people throughout all the previous years and generations, and now even the last purification has been accomplished. Therefore, the Rebbe says, now the main emphasis must be, first of all, on completing, concluding, and perfecting the divine service to bring the Gimel, namely the third stage of the true and complete redemption, in actual reality.